Okay, good evening. Proud to be able to do the first installment of the Garden Mermelstein Chodesh of Inspiration. I want to thank Jules and Stacy for sponsoring, and it should be an eloy for the neshamos of the parents. The first step of one of the most popular phrases that we have when it comes to the machzor, Rishus HaRav Mar D'Asra, one of the first stages of this the process of what the Yom Ha'aretz is about is tshuva. What is tshuva? And as inspiring as tshuva might sound when we're just beginning, how do we make it last? You know, the University of Scranton research, when it comes to New Year's resolutions, finds that 8% of New Year's resolutions are stuck to, that people are able to manage to make it part of who they are. And tshuva is really that part of introspection and trying to work through and be honest with ourselves about what it is that we can change, how it is that we can do it. And when we get to this time of year, sometimes we get the been there, done that type of feeling. And in some ways it's positive. When we hear the nusach for Slichos on Motzei Shabbos, Habo Aleinu, when we see the parochas being changed, when we get into certain aspects of what the Yomim Noroim are about, it puts us in the right mood. The Rav used to point out that there are no two nights that are more ingrained in the Jewish psyche than the night of Kol Nidre and the Leil HaSeder. There's something about these evenings, there's something about re-experiencing them that inspires us, that moves us forward in a positive way. But it comes with a little bit of a negative overtone as well. You know, every year coming back and thinking, am I any different than I was just 1 year ago? What have I managed to change? What have I managed to improve? Are the al-chaits that I need to go through the same as they were just 1 year ago? And if I'm just doing the same thing year in and year out, why should I expect that the coming year is going to be any different? I want to try and look together, learn this evening, what I think is a fascinating approach to tshuva, and with one or two practical strategies that maybe we can try and employ, and that hopefully this year will be a little bit different, and that we'll be able to make progress in a productive way. And I think the first step that we need to have is we need to jump back just about 5,781 years ago, or 82 almost by now. First day of creation, and there's a lot that happens on day number one. Back at the beginning, the creation begins, but now we are 6 days into the creation of the world, and Adam HaRishon is finally created. That is the culmination of everything that was going on, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put together, whether it be the stars and the moon and the grass and the animals, all of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts together was there for us. It's there for us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits back, Bayom HaShvi, and he wants to look back on everything and enjoy it. But things don't go quite as planned. If you look at the first of the sources, on the right hand side, the Torah tells us that Adam makes a mistake. Adam sins. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to respond to it. Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Hein Adam Hayah Ke'achad Mimenu, L'Da'as Tov V'Ra. Right? They've now eaten from the Eitz HaDa'as, and they have a new way of discerning reality that wasn't part of the plan, it wasn't part of the way that human beings were supposed to interact with the world. They violated one of the few commandments that they had, and now, says Hashem, and now there's only one more mitzvah that was in place. But if they eat now from the Eitz HaChayim, then not only are they going to have this knowledge that wasn't part of the plan, but they're going to live forever. So Hashem takes action. Vayishalcheyu Hashem Elokim Migan Eden Lavodes Adom Asher Lukach Misham. So Kadosh Baruch Hu sends them out. Where does He send them? Where does He send them out? Vayigaresh Es Adom Vayashkein Mikedem Ligan Eden Es Sakruvim Veislat Acher Vavisapeches Lishmor Es Derech Eitzachayim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu takes Adam and chases them out eastward and places, and again, it's a hard imagery. Unfortunately, we usually learn the first parsha of the Torah when we're way too young to be able to appreciate it. It's worth revisiting from a new perspective with all of the mafarshim. But that image of the Laat Acher V'Misapechas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu places these angels that are there with this revolving sword on the eastern side of Gan Eden. Why? He wants to make sure that they're never going to come back. They've left Gan Eden, they've been sent away. That is it. Okay? That's part of the story of the first day of creation. But it's not, I'm sorry, that's part of the story of the beginning of the world. But let's take one more step back. One step back for a moment before we return to this point in the story. And before being chased out, Adam and Chava have two children, Cain and Hevel. And unfortunately, again, things don't go quite right. Don't go according to the plan. And there are problems. Cain kills Hevel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Cain and wants to know what's going on. You see in the beginning of the second source, Vayomer, Lo Yadati. I don't know what happened to him. Hashomer Achi Anochi. Am I my brother's watchman? Am I my brother's keeper? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Cain and says, I don't get it. Vayomer Me'asisa, I know what you did. How could you have done this? Kol Dimei Achicha Tzoakim Eilai Min Adama. Your brother's blood, which is now saturating the earth, is calling out to me. I know what's happened here. V'ata now arur ata, you're going to be cursed. Min adama sherpatzas pia. L'kachas es me'achicha mi'odecha. Be part of the putting things back in order. And he says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, finally, I'm sorry, in Pasuk Yud Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, na v'na tiye ba'aretz. You're going to be a wanderer. You're going to be a wanderer. And Cain finally turns to Hashem in Pasuk Gimel Vayomer Cain al Hashem Gadol Avoni Min Eso. My sin is too great for me to bear. Hingirashto Si Hayom Al Pnei Adamai Bonecha Saser Vayisi Nav Navaretz Velkom Si Argeni. I don't know what's going to happen to me. Vayomer Lo Hashem Lachen Kol Cain Shivasam Shivasayim You Come. Vayosem Hashem leKain Osen. Hashem puts a sign on Cain. In order to at least temporarily protect him. And Cain leaves from in front of Hashem. And he settles in the land of Nod to the east of Eden. The Medrash notices, Chazal notice, that both Adam and Cain, they went Kedem. They went to the east. Is there significance to that? Is it just a coincidence? What difference does it make whether they went to the north, whether they went to the south, whether they went to the east, or whether they went to the west? What difference does it make? And yet, they both end up going to the east. The Medrash in the fourth source says, Mikedem, Rav Amar, Bechol Mokom, Ruach Mizrachis Koletas. The east is a place that gathers in. Adam Arishon, Vayigarish as Adam Ayeshke Mikedem Legan Eden. Right? It gathers in Adam. He was sent out to the east. Cain, Vayetze Cain, Milifnei Hashem, Vayeshe Be'eretz Nod, Kidmas Eden. Yeah, thank you. And then there's a third one that the Medrash notices. Before we finish the Medrash, we'll just look back at the Psukim in the third source, coming from the beginning of Sefer Devarim. The Torah tells us, Oz Yavdil Moshe, Shalosh Arim Be'ever Hayardein, Mizrecha Shamesh. Moshe is going to set aside three cities, three Arim Miklat, Where? On the eastern side, Mizracha Shamesh, where the sun rises. Why? So the accidental murderer has somewhere to go. It's interesting. The Tikkuni Zohar writes, the Ari quotes that Inali Adov v'samti lecha, the pasuk which says in Parashas Mishpatim about the ir miklat, the person running away, Ina Aleph liado lamed vav v'samti, and lamed lecha is Rashi Tevos for Elul. That Elul, again amongst the many Rashi Tevos that we have, right? Inali Adov v'samti lecha Rashi Tevos Elul, because Elul is that opportunity to be in ir miklat. It's a place that we can run to. It's a place that we can find. We can seek refuge. What's the significance, or is there any significance of saying where it is? There's nowhere else it could be. Be'evar Yarden. Where else is Moshe Rabbeinu going to establish Ari Miklat? He's not crossing over. So of course it's Be'evar Yarden. Of course it's Mizrach HaShemesh. So the Medrash notes, what's the significance? In the bottom of this fourth Torah, Tarotzeach, Oz Yavdiyo Moshe Shalosh Ari Me'evar Yarden Mizrach HaShemesh. Says the Medrash that is the third example. Three examples of the Mizrach being collate. What does that mean that the... Okay, it's true. Right? The Medrash doesn't just tell us facts. So what is the significance that the Mizrach, that the East, is a place that brings in Adam when he's thrown out of Gan Eden, Cain after he kills Hevel, and the accidental murderer? What is the Medrash trying to tell us? What's the significance of the East? Shem Yishmuel has a beautiful, beautiful insight. It's larger than the part that I put here, but I think we can get at least a flavor of what the Shem Yishmuel says based on what we have right here. He writes about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 7 lines down. The first word of the line, Perush, Kimo Hashemesh Hameir Achar Afisa Saor Shebelaylo Shemaskel Sabeh Michadosh Veinenu Mistayeh Mior Shelasmo Klal Kenya Inu Harotzeach. He says like this. He says, imagine for a moment the accidental murderer. This person was going about his business. He had no intention, he had no prior hatred towards this person. And now suddenly he has cut a life short. He has to live with this. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for the person who was killed, but it's a tragedy for the person who has to experience that. And that person, you can only imagine, is thinking, how can I go on? How can I go on to another day? How can I go on to tomorrow when this has happened? When I've cut this life out of the world? So he goes, Mizrach HaShemesh. So says the Shem Yishmuel, we can't understand the guilt, the pain, the anguish. So that person has lost all hope for the future. So that person is sent to the Ir Miklat. Why? Because the East is where the sun rises. The East is where, after Afisas Ha'or, after the night, after the darkness of the previous day, and it seems that the world is dark, suddenly the sun comes up in the morning. Suddenly there's a new day. There's a new possibility. There's a freshness to it. That's why the accidental murderer is sent Mizrach HaShemesh, of all the directions. It's significant that he's sent to the East, because the East is where he is reminded, no, there is hope for the future. And that no matter how dark it was today, the light of tomorrow is not connected. There's a new day, there's a new shine. The message of the East is that there's always hope. As long as the light shines on a new day, there are new possibilities. And whether someone has erred as egregiously as a Cain, and that's why Cain is sent to the East. Because Cain has killed somebody, and he did it on purpose. Again, it was in the heat of the moment. But Cain killed his brother, and there also he's sent to the East. Because that's the only opportunity, potential for the future that he's going to have, to be able to see that there is a new beginning. And Adam HaRishon as well brings death into the world through his chait, has to live with that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he goes mikedem legan Eden. You go to the east. Because the east is kolet bechol makom. The east is where the hope for the new day lies. And there's a new potential of what can be. It's always possible to move forward, and it's always possible to begin again. What you have to do to move forward is going to be different whether you're a shogeg, whether you're a mezid, whether you're an anus, absolutely. But that the ability to be able to see that there's a new light and there's a new possibility, that's what comes from the east. And that's the Yomim Noraim. The Yomim Noraim is a chance to begin again. Every day that Hashem gives us a chance to change. But it's still difficult. Because all this is necessary, but it's not sufficient. Inspiration is not enough. We can have all the inspiration we want, and we can walk out feeling excited, okay, tomorrow's a new day, and even if I messed up today, I can do something different tomorrow. And if I didn't do a good job this year, I have a new year coming. But if all it is inspiration, and we don't figure out how to put it into action, then it doesn't usually last. So the message is critical. It's an important beginning. But what do we do with that? What do we do with the knowledge that I can start again? And that there's an east that has a new day and new rises with a new opportunity. But how do I take advantage of it? How do I seize that new day and turn it into a new beginning? And we don't need to look any further than the very same story of Cain for insight on this as well. Because the Medrash tells us a little bit more about what happened. So we just learned that Cain and Adam were both sent to the east. So what happened when they were sent to the east? They bumped into each other. They bumped into each other, says the Medrash. Look in the fifth source, about halfway down, in the middle of the line. Pagabo Adam Arishon. So Adam Arishon bumps into Cain. And he turns to Cain and he says, Bubala, what's going on? Amar lo man ase bedincha. How did it go for you? You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reached out to you. He wasn't so happy with you. What's the end result? What is going to be? Amar lo, he tells his father, Asisi tshuva v'nispasharti. I did tshuva v'nispasharti. And I compromised. Then what happens? We'll try to understand that more in a moment. Hiskil Adam Arishon mitapeach alpanav. Adam Arishon hits himself in the head. And he says, Amar kachi kocha shel tshuva v'ani lo ha'isi yodeya. That's the power of tshuva, and I never knew it. Miyad Omar Adam Arishon v'Amar Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, and Adam proceeds on his own path of tshuva. What's this conversation? What just happened between Cain and Adam? Adam doesn't know something. He's missing something about the possibility of tshuva, right? He also made a mistake. Adam sinned with the Eitz Hadas. Cain sinned with this. Adam comes to Cain and says, No, what's going to be? And he tells, Asisi tshuva. I did tshuva. Everything is good. And suddenly, tshuva? I didn't think of that. He didn't think of that. What didn't he think of? He didn't think of saying, I'm sorry. What didn't he think of? You know, every word of Chazal is precious and needs to be examined. If you look very carefully at the Medrash, think the key word is v'nispasharti. Nispasharti, right? The Medrash could have just said, Amar lo, asisi tshuva. I did tshuva. I'm done. Everything is good. What's v'nispasharti? What is a pshara? A pshara we usually use as a word for a compromise. There are different types of compromise. We have a pshara which is krova ladin, a pshara which is eina krova ladin, a compromise that a beis din will put in place which mirrors what the halacha should be. Sometimes it's 50-50. There are different types of compromises that exist. What's a compromise when it comes to tshuva? What does it mean to compromise with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Asisi tshuva v'nispasharti. What does a compromise have to do with anything? Did he fix his mistake? Or did he not fix his mistake? It's not so complicated. What does a compromise have to do with anything? And I think that Kayin is teaching us a powerful tool for tshuva. And that was what Adam HaRishon didn't realize. Kayin is teaching us that the Ribono Shel Olam is willing to compromise with us. He understands that tshuva is hard. He understands that doing a full about face after however we may have conducted ourselves over time is not easy. It's not going to happen just like that. So he's willing to compromise. And then Adam's upset. Wait, tshuva all or nothing? That's not so simple. But I could have made a compromise. That's something, that's a chiddush. That's something new, that's something which is different. So what's the compromise? Right, the Rambam tells us that there are three steps in tshuva. You have to be mischaret, you have to regret, you have to be misvad, you have to admit, kabbalah ala asid, you have to accept upon yourself in the future not to do it again. So if I do 1 out of 3, 2 out of 3, doesn't sound like the Rambam understood that there was any sort of pshara that exists. What is v'nispasharti? I don't think that's what the Medrash means. I don't think it's against what the Rambam teaches us either. I think what Kayin has taught us, and what we need to try and understand, is that real change in HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed us, he understands, does not take place instantaneously. He designed us. So he wants to see in what direction are we moving. What steps are we willing to take? Tshuva does not have to be an all or nothing proposition. So what does that mean? This is a very interesting Gemara in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Pei Tesamid Beis. It usually gets looked over because the Gemara about Kafalei Marki Gigis is on Pei Ches. And then everybody's excited. And then you get to Pei Tes, it's not so exciting anymore. But the Gemara tells us something very interesting on Pei Tesamid Beis. I'm sorry, I forgot to put it onto the source sheet. Gemara tells us a story. And the Gemara says, La'asid lavo yomar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avram. That in the future it's going to happen that Hashem is going to come to Avram Avinu and He's going to say, Banecha chatuli. Your children, Avram, they've sinned. They've sinned against me. Omar lefanav, so Avram will say, Ribono Shel Olam, yimachu al kedushas shemecha. Okay. Wipe them out. They'll die al Kiddush Hashem. But if that's what they deserve, destroy them. Wipe them out. Wow. What does the Kiddush Baruch Hu say? Amar, Emer Leile Yaakov, Dehava Leitzar, Gidol Banim. He wasn't so satisfied with that answer. Kiddush Baruch Hu wasn't quite ready to, again, every part of this Gemara we could darshan at length. We're going to try to zero in on one point. So Hashem is not so satisfied with what Avram Avinu says. So he says, let me go to Yaakov. Yaakov had tzar gidol banim. Yaakov had experienced some of his pain raising his children. Maybe he'll have a little bit more of a methodology of how to deal with children who are causing a little bit of problem. Efshut deboy racham elayu. Maybe he'll ask me to have mercy. Amar lei. So he says to Yaakov, banecha chatu. Your children sinned. Amar lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, yimachu akedushas shemecha. Wipe them out. Ribono Shel Olam is trying. He's like, throw me a bone. I'm looking around trying to get the avos to invoke something, and nobody seems to be taking the bait. So Amar lo besabe time of lo bedarde kietza. The older one, Avram's not helping me. The younger one, Yaakov's not helping me. Let's go to Yitzchak. Amar lo Yitzchak, banecha chatuli, says to Yitzchak, your children have sinned against me. Amar lefanav, so Yitzchak says, Ribono Shel Olam, banai velo banecha. What do you mean they're my children? They're my children, not your children? Why are you putting this on me? When they did and accepted your Torah, you said, "Bini b'chori, they're my child." Achshav, b'nai v'lo b'necha. Now when it's not convenient anymore, they're no longer your children, Ribono Shel Olam, now they're only mine. Ve'od, and then, and here comes a fascinating argument from Yitzchak. Kamachatu. How bad could they really have been? So he says, Yitzchak says, Kamashnosov Shel Olam. What's the average lifespan? So again, the way that we read from the Psukim, Shivim Shana, 70 years. Dal Esrin Do Anches Aleo. So take away the first 20 years because they don't, they're not Bar Onshin. So they shouldn't get punished for that time. Okay? So there are 50 years left. Parshul Chamshin. Yeah, 50 years less. Dal Esrin V'chamshin Delevasa. So half of them, it's the night time. What are they really sinning at night? They're sleeping, they're not doing anything. So get rid of that. Parshul Esrin V'chamisha. So there are 25 years left. Dal Tartis Reopaga Detsluye Umechal Dvesakisei. Half of the time that they're up, they're in the bathroom, they're eating, they're davening, they're doing good things. So how much is really left? Partial tartas or paga. So the most time left for them possibly to have sinned is 12 and a half years out of 70 years. Imata sova las kulam mutov. If you're willing to tolerate just all of that, great. Vimlav paga alayu paga alayu. I'll split it with you. You take half, I'll take half, and let them go. If you want to say it should all be on me, I've already sacrificed myself in front of you. I've already done it. I've already put myself on the line for you. What an astounding Gemara on so many levels. But I just want to focus on one point for today. Yitzchak, in no uncertain terms, and maybe this is what he got from his father, Avram, when it came to seeing how he interacted with Hashem, with Sodom, or heard about it. He's trying to compromise with Hashem. He's not willing to be rejected. And he keeps pushing and pushing and pushing until he can finally get the Ribono Shel Olam to budge a little bit. Where does that Gevura come from? Where does that ability to turn back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, you know what, we got to figure this out. We got to make it work, even halfway, even half on me, half on you, or I'll take it on me, but we got to move forward. We got to compromise. And in particular, think about which of the avos this is. In terms of the psukim, Yitzchak is the most passive character we have. And somehow he has this fortitude, he has this courage to push himself forward. And in the end, it's accepted. Where does it come from? So the last line reveals it all. I sacrificed myself for you. The Ribono Shel Olam wants to see that we put in the effort for Him. If we take ourselves and push ourselves out of our comfort zone for the Ribono Shel Olam, for God, that seems to be the tool that we can then say, okay, I've done something. Maybe we can negotiate. Let's sit down at the table and let's see what we can do. So what compromise can we offer? So before we offer a compromise, we need to put ourselves in the best position possible for our compromise proposal to be accepted. So once again, let's turn to Kayin. We saw the Psukim before. The Psukim told us that Kayin kills his brother. And then Kayin has this concern. He doesn't know what's going to happen. Somebody's going to kill him. He doesn't know what's going to end up happening with Kayin. And Hashem agrees with Kayin, you don't deserve to be killed just yet. So what does Hashem do? In the second source, in Pasuk Tesvav, Vayomer lo Hashem lachin korogayin shivasam yukam, Vayosem Hashem lekayin os. So Hashem makes for Kayin a sign. What was the oath? What was the sign? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to Kayin in order to make sure that he'd be protected from everybody else? So as the Medrash comments, that he put one of the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis on his forehead. Okay, so which one? Which of the letters of the Aleph Beis? So Rashi does us a favor and narrows it down a little bit. Rashi tells us, Chakak lo os achas mishemo b'metzcho. So he carved one of the letters of the name of Hashem onto the forehead of Kayin. So now we've knocked it down from 22 to 3. Right? We have the Yud, the Hey, and the Vav. Right? The Hey repeats itself. So we're down to 3 letters. Yud, Hey, and Vav. Okay? So which one? Which of the letters? Meir Shapiro, Zechon Levracha, said it had to be the letter Vav. Why? Because it had to be. Okay. Why did it have to be? Why did it have to be the letter Vav? So Meir Shapiro explained, because the Vav is the letter that creates Chibur. It's the letter that creates connection. It connects two things. What was Cain's sin? He killed his brother Hevel. What happened when Hashem asked him, where is your brother? Hashomer achi anochi. Am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes. You are your brother's keeper. You are responsible for somebody else. You have to remember forever, and those that see you should remember forever, that we have a responsibility to others. What letter reminds and represents that responsibility that we have for one another? It's the letter Vav. It's the letter which has that chibur between us. That letter Vav is the permanent reminder to Cain of the chibur, and again, for all those who see him. With that change, with an appreciation of what it means to live, not only for ourselves, but caring for others, then what can Cain now do? Now Cain can talk about a pshara. Once Cain learns a lesson, so then he can begin his negotiations. And he could turn to the Ribono Shel Olam and try to make a compromise. Everyone needs to know where he or she needs to improve. What we can be doing differently in the coming year. But it seems like the first step is the way we connect to one another. If we understand that our power comes when we have a chibur between us, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks down and doesn't have to say, you know, Banecha Chatu, and they're not my children. He wants to see that his children are getting along. He wants to see that there is a connection between them. Once you have that, then you have the beginnings of now you can offer a pshara. So what does it mean to have a pshara in tshuva? So as I mentioned before, I don't think it means taking 1 out of 3 or 2 out of 3 of the Rambam steps of tshuva. Rishon Salanter, in his Or Yisrael, in the 6th letter, suggests the following chiddush. He says that we know, or he says it slightly differently. The way he says it is this. He says that different people can do the same mitzvah, or the exact same mitzvah, or the exact same avera, and yet receive very different rewards or very different punishments. And even the same person can do the exact same thing at 2 different times and be rewarded or punished differently. How's that possible? So Rishol explains that the Mishnah in Avos teaches us Lufum Sara Agra, that a reward is set according to the pain and effort that's involved in the mitzvah's pursuit. So not every action is viewed the same. Not every action is viewed the same. The amount of exertion that we put into it is going to impact and is going to affect the reward that we're going to see. So Rishon Salanter suggests that we can divide both mitzvos and averos into 2 categories. Those that are kal, those that are easy, and those that are kaved. Literally heavy, but those that are difficult. Whether something is easy or difficult is determined by How hard is it going to be for me? If it's going to be something where the Yetzer Hara is so strong and I give in, so then there was only so much that could be expected of me. But if I'm going to throw it aside and not put any effort in, then the punishment is going to be worse. So for example, if one attends Minyan daily, it becomes an easy mitzvah. But at the same time, for that same person to sit and learn Daf Yomi may be difficult. So the judgment of a person is going to be different, and for somebody else it might be easy to sit and learn. But getting out of bed in time to get to Minyan, that's going to be a challenge. For every person, it is going to be different. And therefore, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter takes it one final step further. And he says that the difference between the easy and the difficult within the same mitzvah is as stark as the difference between two different mitzvahs. What does that mean? Think about this. Think about the difference between speaking Lashon Hara about a random acquaintance versus speaking Lashon Hara about your spouse. Clearly, it's easier to stop ourselves from saying Lashon Hara, hopefully, about a spouse, about somebody who is closer to us, who we care more deeply about. Therefore, the reward for overcoming the desire to speak Lashon Hara about a spouse is not going to be as great as the reward for overcoming about somebody who I might not care for very much. And therefore, Bishol Salanter suggests that the idea of a compromise or partial tshuva is that I can do a complete tshuva, meaning all three steps of the Rambam, but I can do it on where I am holding, on what I think is the step that I could take. And it might not be overcoming Lashon Hara, for example, entirely, but I will make sure that at least when it comes to the easier step, I can do a tshuva shlema. And it can be taken in any other context as well. If I can zero in on something which I think I can change, even if it's not going to be everything, even if it's not going to be the entirety of a specific mitzvah, that can be considered to be a full tshuva on that particular aspect. And how powerful that is, we don't know. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, right, Psach Li Pesach Kechuto Shomachat. If we open up that beginning of that opening, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that He's going to expand it. So maybe, if we want to offer a compromise for the coming year, we could try and put everything that we've said together. To treat every day as a new sunrise, as a new opportunity, as a day of hope, and a chance to seize that particular moment and take advantage. How do we show it? We look for chances to do mitzvos. We look at, okay, I may not have been able to overcome whatever my challenge was on this piece today, but I'm going to work on that. But maybe it's not everything. But then we could turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, you know what? We get along. We have that achdus. We have the vav that is being mechaber us. And that's enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say, okay, I'm willing to sit down, I'm willing to compromise. And then hopefully if we have that perspective, then we can turn and not have the shock of an Adam HaRishon. We don't want to be hitting ourselves in the heads on Motzei Yom HaKippur. Oh, we could have done that? Then no. A sisi tshuva v'nispasharti. We're willing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to see the steps that we take. And if we can pull in one or two areas, not try to do too much, but do a full tshuva on certain areas, then hopefully the inspiration that we have in Elul will be one that we carry forward, will be one that we can take with us, and one that will make Elul last beyond throughout the coming year, and hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see those efforts and sign and seal us all for a ksiva v'chasima tova. Thank you.